Hey, good morning, everyone. We're back. Alan Ellis here. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors this hour. We're talking about fishing, in particular perch fishing. And we've got Paul Piavas with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Paul, I introduced you earlier as the Chesapeake Bay Finfish Project Leader. How close was I?
Yeah, it's pretty darn close. Good enough.
Good. Yeah. Good deal. Well, first of all, let me tell our listeners that yesterday the geographic restrictions went into effect for the Chesapeake Bay spawning season for striped bass. Not allowed to target fishing for striped bass in the spawning rivers, the areas, and reaches through May 31st. And then also yesterday, the seasonal restrictions went into place for largemouth bass in Maryland's tidal waters. Largemouth bass must be 15 inches in length, and the daily creel limit is 5 per person per day through June 15th. The season restrictions also went into place for largemouth and smallmouth bass in Maryland's non-tidal waters. Largemouth and smallmouth are closed to possession through June 15th. Catch and release is permitted. Today, you are Paul Piavas, is a guest speaker live on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And also today is the annual Yellow Perch Appreciation Day at Northeast Town Park in Northeast. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., adults may fish without a Maryland license, fishing license at this location, providing they register for free first. And then for more information is CCAMD.com. And also today, Mark Staley, another DNR biologist. You know, Mark, I'm sure we'll speak on the topic of Maryland trout streams at Bass Pro Shop today from noon till 1. So there you go. And I left out the dogfish work group because I don't know if any of our listeners that will be interested in that. But they might be. I don't know.
I'm sure somebody is.
Yeah. How you doing? Did you get to hunt any rabbits this year?
Not much. Didn't get a whole lot done. Got to chase some ducks and watch geese land in the field next to us.
Join the club, huh?
That's the way life goes. I did shoot. I'm not a real big deer hunter. I go, a few times a year, and actually ended up getting the biggest buck I've ever shot.
Ah, congratulations!
Yeah,
good,
yeah, right there. Actually, just blow the Tuckahoe in Talbot County.
Good for you, man! Congratulations.
It was,
yes, indeed.
I know, I'd say about, I forget what it was. It was not huge, but it was like 17-inch inside spread.
That's a nice buck. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd take that
every day.
Especially
when I thought it was a doe when it was coming up.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Its rack was so brown, it just blended right into its coat. And then when it got real close, I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Not a bad deer.
Yeah, good for you, man. Good for you. Well, congratulations. I'll have to get a picture of that for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
All righty.
So, yeah. But anyway, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and how are we doing on the perch? What's the latest update on perch fishing here in Maryland?
Well, the fishing is it's been slow. It should be picking up.
Yeah.
We have a couple different surveys. We've been on the chop tank for the last week doing our regular fike net survey, which we've been doing since about 1988.
Right.
And when we went to set a couple Fridays ago, the water temperature was still 35, 36 degrees.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's very cold. And when we've been fishing them, we haven't hit 40 yet.
So you just jumped right in there in your shorts and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Butch was up to his waist in mud trying to get our net set. But
no, Butch is a hard-working guy. So.
Yeah, he is.
And a good shot, too, by the way.
Yeah. He saved me a couple times. Did I get that one? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I didn't, but thanks anyway.
Yeah. The inside baseball here, folks, is that I've hunted with Paul a couple times, and Chris Rosendale and Butch, who we're talking about, and the biologist Butch Webb. We've all rabbit hunted together with our buddy Dale from Easton, Dale Weinrich. So hopefully Dale will weigh in, but... yeah, it's a lot of fun hunting those rabbits, especially behind Chris's dogs. So.
Yeah, it is. It's something to watch more.
Yeah.
So. But, we have been out a couple times, and like I said, we have not even hit 40 degrees yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Dale last week talk about Hillsboro, and the activity is picking up there. On the way home, I've driven by a couple times, and you know, there one day there were quite a few cars there. So
yeah.
It's,
well, usually the perch spawn, you know, the old Eastern Shore thing is they all, the yellow perch all spawn by the end of February or 1st of March, and we're there, but we're not hitting it quite the way it has been in the past, are we?
Yeah, our data always shows it's pretty consistent that half of the spawn is done by like March 10th, March 9th, March 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's annually, it's pretty close.
Yeah, so this upcoming week is the one we want to be out there.
Right, and actually I think it was Dale that said that he's absolutely 100% right that
photo period.
Photo period plus that temperature has to hit 48 degrees. They can come up and hang around and not spawn, so they
right.
can be there for an extended period of time.
Right.
But as soon as that water temperature hits 48, they're going to spawn.
Now, is the fishing activity, the bite, so to speak, is that just prior to the spawn, or is that during the actual spawning ritual?
That's all through. Yeah.
All through? Yep.
It's all through the process.
Yep.
But in a year like this year and to some extent last year, you know, my best advice for anglers is to, if something's not working, change and do something else, be it where you're fishing, bait,
yep.
and presentation.
Not catching them on minnows, go to grass shrimp. Not catching
right.
them on grass shrimp, go to night crawlers.
Right. And yep. now in twister tails and everything else.
Yeah, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yep. Have your tackle box ready to go and have a lot of tools in the toolbox.
Yeah. And, you know, if you can, if you can, if you're used to being a bank fisherman and you got a canoe behind the garage, well, why don't you just try to get some exercise, go out, throw the canoe in, and you know, hunt and peck that way.
Exactly.
You know, that's a big issue is location, location, location.
Sure.
No.
I mean, the traditional perch grounds, like you mentioned, Hillsboro and some of the others. You know, they're traditional perch grounds because, or you know, perch spawning reaches because. Their traditional perch spawning reaches, those fish return there year after year after year after year. That's where they're programmed to return.
Yeah,
to.
And access. You know, a lot of them are, you know, especially on the Eastern Shore, access is an issue.
Sure.
So a lot of people congregate to the areas with easy access.
Easy access, sure. Absolutely.
St. Paul's Church up in between Chestertown and Rock Hall is usually a pretty popular place, and that's they get a lot of... usually get a decent run up there.
What about Centerville?
Above Chester, in between Chestertown and Rock Hall.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a marina Centerville.
Yep.
It's a pretty good spot.
There, and there's also a park that they put a nice, years ago, they put a nice boardwalk through the marsh, and you can access the Corsica River that way, too. I've seen some decent fish being caught out of there.
Well, yellow perch are available in all of our rivers, primarily all the rivers of the Chesapeake Bay. Some people concentrate on different places. I mean, there's people down in Upper Marlboro that concentrate on the river there. There's people down south that concentrate on some of the spawning areas down there. And it's, as you said, it's a matter of access. But if you have access to any of the rivers this time of year, You've got a great opportunity to catch some nice yellow perch. So.
Right. Yep. You certainly do. And to backtrack what you were talking about the historical nature of the run, and they come up the rivers, and you know, because that's where they want to go. That's correct. But a lot of anglers have a misperception that these are like salmon, and these are gonna.
Come
to
the same
up to the very heads of rivers.
And yeah, they don't. No.
We've seen that that's absolutely not true. These fish they don't have to be in 8 inches of water to spawn.
Right.
I mean, they're capable of spawning in
80 feet.
Yeah, 20, 25. Yeah, I know. Yeah. 20 to 25 feet of water easily.
Sure.
And for our Upper Bay anglers, you know, there's some pretty popular deep holes that they like to. Drown minnows in, but you know those fish—they're not all going up the Northeast River, and they're not all going up the Gunpowder.
Right.
We've seen plenty of egg strands on the bay fronts.
Sure.
all up and down the upper bay.
Quite frankly, there's under the Kent Narrows Bridge, there's a little spot there that they can catch some giant yellow perch every year.
Yep.
So, I mean, they are everywhere, no question about that.
They got to be giant ones to be strong enough to hold up against that tide.
That's quite a tide in there, but there are some little, spots, I guess, behind cover where they catch them. So, there's a lot of places that are accessible. There's a lot of places that hold yellow perch, and this is one of the best times of year to catch them. And as we mentioned, a lot of people like shad darts on a bobber with a minnow, and they like if they can get them, the grass shrimp, night crawlers has always been my favorite. I mean, anything eats a night crawler, but that's just me. Let me ask you, and you probably saw this, and I don't mean to, get you off of what we talked about here. There was an article about yellow perch found in South River, Severn River, and Mattawoman Creek. Had some abnormalities in the in their ovaries and testes. What are you hearing about that?
Well, one of the co-authors on that was our friend and colleague in DNR, Jim Uphoff.
Right.
And Steve Minkin with Fish and Wildlife Service, who formerly was with the aquaculture, the hatchery group here.
Right.
And the fish from, they analyze fish from the chop tank and and some other Mattawoman and Allen's Fresh down the Potomac area.
Right.
They were actually our fish from the chop tank. We collected them for them for this study. So we've a little bit on the periphery of it. I've read through the paper a couple times and,
these are pretty small numbers, aren't they?
They're small numbers, but the numbers from the Severn, essentially they found some abnormalities, actually a lot of abnormalities on a percentage basis, of eggs from the Severn River. And
wasn't the South and Severn closed for a number of years?
They were, and they were...
Of course, there's no development there.
Right, exactly. And that's where Jim's expertise in this paper shines through. Is his sections where I can tell, you can tell from the writing who wrote what. And
right.
Jim's section is spot on, and what they found it dovetails right in with his work. He does for your listeners, he does a lot of habitat work and finally making the connection between fish populations and habitat and degraded habitat. And to no surprise, the buzzword in fisheries is impervious surface for your listeners, and that just means the amount of rooftops and hard-packed roads and asphalt and runways and the like in within a watershed. And he's pretty much found that, when you get to 10 to 15% of impervious surface, within a watershed, your fish populations are going to be negatively impacted pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And
because of all the runoff, all the surface runoff.
Yeah, and in the Severn, we had some fikes set for several years in the Severn, and of course we had some historical data from back in the probably 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is where there were suitable spawning areas just based on salinity.
Right.
Back in the day, they were might have been 2 to 3 part salinity, they were routinely 6 to 8. So that argues that there's had to have some groundwater. I'm not a hydrologist, but there had to be some sort of groundwater impacts,
right,
and groundwater supply in these rivers. So
I was outside of Waldorf a month or so ago, followed a truck, and the sign on the back of the truck is that we provide permeable concrete.
I have heard of that.
I thought that was pretty interesting, that the water actually is allowed to seep through the concrete rather than run off.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. And I thought to promote that was probably a good thing for that company, knowing the value of that. And what you're talking about is impervious? Is that what you call it?
Impervious.
Impervious surfaces, Which, like you said, parking lots and everything. I mean, how many strip malls can you have in an area? So
yeah, strip malls that are laden with grease and oil.
Everything that runs out of your car runs into the bay. That's right. For sure. So good.
Yeah. All but right. These this survey that we were talking about t- to me, they did a whole gamut of reproductive health, a gamut of tests on reproductive health. And I'm sure your listeners are aware of the intersex issue in fish. And a lot of
well, this is a family show, so I'm not sure if they're listening
yeah.
or aware of that or not.
There have been studies in a lot of different rivers where they're finding male fish with eggs.
Right.
And that's attributed to a lot of the you know, hormone flushing. Hormones can't be treated by wastewater, human hormones, by,
right.
By water treatment plants.
Right.
You get in the water,
yep.
it disrupts the endocrinology, the hormone system of the fish.
Yeah, we're talking, and we've seen this in smallmouth bass on the upper Potomac.
Right.
And,
right.
And a number of places around the world have gotten this in. It's been linked to a lot of different things, including hand sanitizer,
mm-hmm.
including feminine hygiene products, including right. birth control pills, including people flushing their psychotropic drugs down the toilet and that type of thing. I mean, you know, it all has an effect.
Right.
It's got to go somewhere.
Exactly.
So, and it goes into the water supply, and of course, fish, you know, are there. They breathe the water, and they pick up some of these contaminants through that. Not known whether or not it affects, you know, the health of the people that eat the fish, that's for sure. But it's certainly so minute that nobody really needs to worry.
Hey, well, the good thing about this study, though.
Well, wait a minute. You kind of hesitated there. Let's put it this way. If you read the warnings and heed the warnings, I guess Maryland Department of the Environment has those fish health warnings on their website. You can mm-hmm. check those out. Probably not going to be affected by it, unless you eat, you know, 40 pounds of fish 8 times a week.
Right.
So, anyway.
Right.
Go ahead.
And along those lines, the good thing about the study, the positive result from this study, is they found no evidence of this happening in yellow perch.
No intersex type of thing.
Yeah, not even from a on a molecular level. They didn't find any. There's a substance that's in the bloodstream called vitellogenin that starts the process of making the eggs in ovaries.
Okay.
And they didn't find any in the male fish.
Okay. Cool.
So right now.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a very good thing.
Yep. Guess what? I'm still eating yellow perch.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep.
And any kind of fish I can get my hands on. So.
Yeah.
Unless it's from Curtis Bay.
Yeah.
Then I probably am not going to eat it. But.
Yeah, that's a good catch and release there.
Good catch and release is what I'm thinking, yes. Well, look, Paul, we got to take a break. We're going to ask our callers to call with their questions. The number is 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. That translates to WCBM 680, which is the name of our station, our call letters, and our location on the dial is WCBM 680. It's also our phone number. Put 410 in front of it. Numerically, for the alphabetically challenged, it's 410-922-6680 or 1-800-922-6680. Call with any questions you have for yellow perch, white perch. We're going to talk about catfish and some of the other things that are under your purview. And we'll do that when we come back. And right now it's time for me to tell our listeners about Clyde Sports Shop 10-day sale. Started yesterday. Runs through March 10th. And you can get great, great buys on Pfluger. I mean, the Tryon GX spinning reels are just $39.95. The Tryon baitcaster is just $99.95. You want to buy a trolling rod, you can get a great trolling rod, a Tidewater trolling rod with roller tip, trip, and stripper guide. And they have a gimbal. They are just $39.95 for the trolling rods. The Pfluger great spinning reel, the President, one of the top reels from Pfluger, is $59.95 in four different sizes, and they have a surf and pier combo on sale for just $34.95. So great buys on fish and tackle at Clyde Sports Shop. Don't forget you can get your line wound on your empty spools for half price.
That's right, half price. Just take your reel with your empty spool, and they'll fill it for you at half price. All the ugly sticks are on sale, as are all the pen reels. 2013 fishing licenses are also on sale at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. I was there yesterday. Give them a call at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline is 247-FISH.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition, and you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You, too, could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Met some of the folks from Bass Pro Shop last night at the turkey banquet. Met the operations manager. I met the manager. Met the facilities manager and some other folks there, and in the tracker boss too. They were all there. Anyway, Bass Pro Shop are thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation size fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. That easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or check the fishing rule book. You can even visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Jennifer Kishenko. You've heard of Graceland and Falling Water. How about Pinky in the Brain or Elephant Rock? Once adorned only on grand estates, names are now being placed on houses by regular old homeowners. House names these days can be like vanity plates, whimsical attempts by owners to communicate humor and personal identity. Real estate agents say the right name can even help sell a house. One survey found that 1 in 14 said they would be prepared to pay more for a home just because it had a name on it. Many homeowners now use terms like villa, maison, and crest to try to add cachet. Names associated with a physical landmark or scenery are more likely to belong to suburban housing developments. In some parts of the country, houses bought to rent out are given names because they attract attention and are more memorable. If you're thinking about naming your house, be careful. Choosing the wrong name can create a liability when you sell. Brokers say tongue-in-cheek names should be reserved for boats and beach bars. I'm Jennifer Kishinka with the Wall Street Journal Report.
One single act of defiance.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
You are a farmer.
Can't sail across an open ocean.
That would change the world.
I have something that will change everything.
Tomorrow on History. The epic original series begins. Vikings.
What does a man do?
He fights.
You don't become a legend.
This is not the end. It's just a beginning.
Without a fight.
In the name of God, who are you?
Vikings. Premieres tomorrow at 10, 9 central on History.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
Okay, we're with Paul Piavas. Hey, Paul, you there? Paul?
Yes.
We got an email from a guy named Tom. You might know him.
Does he sign my paychecks?
Probably. His question was, what's the status of the yellow perch population?
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of the anglers are wondering, especially the ones that got out earlier, because they haven't had the success that they had. We're going to forget last year because of the stinking warm weather through the winter, that threw everything off. But for the previous several years, especially the early anglers, boat access to some of the deeper holes, were doing extremely well on big yellow perch.
Yeah, big jumbos. Yeah,
yeah. What we had going on is actually, certainly since I've been here and in looking back at the data back to the early 70s, we had essentially the best time for yellow perch fishing in the upper bay. As we touched upon, the degraded systems are
right.
Are just, you know, they're on the periphery now.
Yeah.
But as far as the upper bay, we were kind of in the golden years. We had so many years of high reproduction from the mid 90s through 2003. And all those fish were just building in into the population, and they were there. And a lot of your anglers may want to know the longevity of a yellow perch. I mean, they can live 12, 13 years. So
okay,
when you have all those back-to-back-to-back-to-back strong year classes, you're going to get
some big picks.
Yeah, you're going to be loaded
so,
up.
So you had a lot of good spawning activity, a good reproduction or recruitment, as you call it.
Yep.
Back in the 90s, and those fish moved forward into the early 2000s.
Right.
All right. So now we've had not so good years, I'm guessing.
Right. We've had on and off. We've had the juvenile data that we collect is from, again, Eric Durrell's Striped Bass Project and also our winter trawl survey in the Upper Bay. We go out from December through early to mid-February.
Right.
Trawling for different species, for all the species of, you know, that we would encounter.
Right.
And we can formulate an abundance of juvenile fish at that age.
Right.
In that year. And sometimes they generally go lockstep between the two surveys, but sometimes you don't know if one's average, one's really above average, or one's right. super above average. So right. magnitude is something that we kind of have to wait for the models to churn after these fish show up in the fishery to
right.
see where they come out in the adult range. So these year classes, Eric Durrell's 2011 year class from the same survey was super high. Ours is, from our data, is very high.
So
we're going to have to wait a couple years. There's
yeah.
no doubt that it's going to be a very, very, very good year class. If your anglers haven't been out there,
right.
I can almost guarantee you that you're going to catch a lot of 7-inch yellow perch.
Right.
And those are the 2011 year class.
Now, we're hearing anecdotally from up in the northeast section there that these guys are catching, you know, 9, 10, 11-inch, I mean, legal fish right now. So that's good for the derby up there today, or the Yellow Perch Appreciation Day. But you know, it may not be as good as it was. But what you're telling me, in long story short, is the last couple of years we've had real good recruitment, but it's going to take a while for those fish to grow up into that jumbo class. So in 3-4 years, we're going to see, you know, yellow perch like we did before.
Right. It's right now what it's looking like is that we fell into an every other year, and where 2000, the odd years have been either average or well above average, put
okay.
it that way.
All right.
The intervening years, unfortunately, if they were just a little below average, we'd be in good shape. We are, from a population standpoint, we're still in good shape.
But they weren't
but
good.
But for the anglers, availability of a broad range of
right.
of sizes, we'd be looking pretty sporty.
Good.
But because we have these even years have been so low,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get gaps. And
okay.
and again, from our chop tank survey, we had what we've been catching so far in the first 2 days we've been doing it, first two net lifts, really nice grade of fish.
Good. Okay.
Very nice. I mean, a 12-inch easy yellow perch.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm coming down.
Yep.
All right, let's take a question here. We got two callers on the line. One of them you know, one of them you don't. Let's talk to Walt in Catonsville. Walt wants to talk about crappies. Can you handle that one?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Walt.
Hey, good morning, men.
Hey, Walt.
A wealth of knowledge sitting there. fellas, I'd like to ask when the yellow perch would start in, like, some of the lakes in Harrod County and... Because I know I go there in the summertime, and you catch bait, crappie that are about the size of bait, you know, maybe 5 or 6 inches. And I found that early in the season, and I did this years ago, I just can't remember when it was, but I know it was cold.
Yeah, that would be best served to our inland fisheries guys. However, you know, a crappie is a crappie, and they're gonna run on the same temperature cues.
As the yellow perch?
No. It's the crappie that we see. I'm sorry. It's the crappie that we see in our river system.
Yes.
The way DNR is broken up, we have an inland, essentially an inland group and our tidal group.
Yes.
But you're right. Our crappie are most active right now, and in one of our sample nets, you know, we can our first lift we had 100 and some crappie in there. Again, it looks like a couple years ago was a good spawn for them because we had a lot of 7 to 9 inch, and you know we can routinely get 13-14 inch crappie in some of these areas.
Maybe I can help Walt out a little bit on the freshwater
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
Paul, no problem there. Your bigger crappie are going to come up. And I don't know biologist speak. I don't know, but you, right around end of March into the middle of April, if you can get out there and fish the brush piles, that's when you're going to find a concentrated bunch of big crappies. Right around the opening of trout season is the way I always like to say it. When trout season opens up, and you're out there fishing, you know, if you want to avoid the crowds on the streams, you know, go to some of your popular lakes and fish the brush piles for crappie because that's when you catch the bigger ones.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, late March, early April, in the end of April, and after that, then you start seeing those smaller fish coming back again.
Would they be staging now?
Yeah, they're going to be staging not just yet. It's again that water temperature thing, and I'm not sure what it is for crappies. Paul, do you know?
I don't know exactly, but your dialogue there is 100% on it. It jibes with what we see. You know, they're active now in this 40-degree weather, but they're absolutely no. You know, their eggs aren't even developed.
Right, exactly.
They will. Yeah. But we generally pick up our nets at the beginning of April.
Yep.
And they're still not spawned. So I think in our region, in the Mid-Shore region, you're looking at probably late April as a spawning.
Yeah. So the bigger fish will be, you know, a couple of weeks before that'll start to stage up. So.
And of interest, or maybe of interest to your anglers, the last couple of years we've been bringing subsample back to. For aging studies, and we sacrificed the fish. And Butch Webb, we were talking about before, he cut open a few stomachs of the bigger fish, and they were loaded with killifish.
Killifish.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're looking at the three inch kind of minnow was what they were gobbling up last week.
Okay.
So there's your
bait.
Yeah. There's your restaurant report.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate that.
I'm a
Walt,
shad, dart, and minnow guy.
Shad, dart, and minnow, that'll work on just about anything. And make sure a pickerel doesn't grab it.
That'd be okay.
I've never seen a pickerel in the local lake that I fish, one of the lakes.
Really?
Yeah, in this one particular lake. I've seen them out on Liberty Road out in those lakes.
Oh, yeah, Liberty Reservoir and Lock Raven, they have pickerel. Lower Eastern Shore has a lot of pickerel. I like catching pickerel.
I caught walleye underneath the bridge at the Laney Valley Road Bridge.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yep. And walleye on the bridge over at Liberty at Nicodemus Road.
Huh.
Had a guy catch one 30 couple inches a couple years ago. And they're off the bridge.
I catch crappie under that bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you very much. One other question. When would they move? They move to the shallow to spawn?
I believe they do. Whether they build nests or not, I'm not quite so sure.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to hang to structure.
Structure's going to be your key, Walt. Your brush piles,
doesn't move.
Well, that's there you go. I mean, a lot of guys used to put Christmas trees out and, you know, kind of stack the odds and wouldn't tell anybody where they, you know, put a couple of Christmas trees. And, I mean, but any of the brush piles and, you know, if you find structure, you know, on a point where you got shallow into deep water, you've got an ideal spot right there. So.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. There he goes. There goes Walt. Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Hey, Dale, how are you?
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. Do you know the other guy on the line there, Dale?
Yeah, I've seen him a time or two.
Uh-huh.
He's a good Buckeye fan.
There you go.
Alan, Paul alluded to the sampling that he and Butch do, and he was being very modest because the work that those guys do in the spring and in the winter is not the easiest in the world.
As you know, guys,
but
I'm a fan of the DNR biologists, the boots on the ground, both the fishing and the wildlife guys, because they do the bulk of the work out there, and you cannot take away from what they provide for the research. That's for sure.
But even more important is the analysis that he and Butch do. Not to bore the listeners, but it's pretty extensive. We came under an awful lot of scrutiny and criticism in the late 90s and early 2000s about yellow perch. So Paul basically put all that to rest with his in-depth analysis and came up with various types of scenarios that basically is the backbone of our yellow perch management. So he and Butch deserve a lot of credit. But that analysis also applies to a lot of other species, too, because he works with catfish, and I've forgotten how many different species there are in there. I've been retired too long. So
we're gonna try and get into a little of that as far as the resident species project, as far as the catfish, channel catfish, white perch, and that type of thing. So,
but Paul
is.
Might want to take a little bit of time just to basically tell the listeners some of the analysis that he does, because it again, you can go out and collect the fish, but it's what you do with the data that's equally as important.
Exactly.
So
one of the backbones, of course, is the cooperation that we get from the commercial yellow perch fishermen, the type of assessments that we do, you have to know what perch are dying as far as the age, what's being caught.
Right.
And
what's coming out of the system as well as what's
right.
going into the system.
And
you don't necessarily get that kind of numbers from the recreational angler.
Well, we could, but that's...
Other than anecdotally and, you know, taking a tremendous amount of time to go out and money, which...
That's what I'm going to get at. It's not the personality of the two different fisheries.
Right.
It's that to...
collecting the data.
Monitor, to get a creel survey on a recreational species, it's an enormous, enormous amount of effort and
yep.
time
yep.
and money.
Yep.
And, you know, it would be one thing if we didn't have any kind of recreational data for all different species.
Hey!
But we have, you know, the MREP and the old MRFSS gives... You know, some decent estimates for you know, a couple of the important species.
Sure.
But
An idea.
Yeah.
You may not like what I'm going to say, but I've got an idea. We could have the governor use the Compass database for the fishermen and ask them to not only, you know, we're in a yellow perch season and we wish you a lot of luck. And by the way, we've got an offshore wind bill going into effect that may affect your fishing offshore, but we just wanted to, you know, let you know that the yellow perch season's here, and we'd like you to report your results.
Well, they can do that. Thank you for leading me into that. I think unwittingly.
you weren't aware of the governor's email that went to the hunters touting his anti-gun legislation.
I heard about it, but I did not. I did not receive one.
Neither did I. But 35,000 other hunters did.
Yeah.
So.
But let me get to the let me stick to perch here.
I'm sorry.
this is very important. This is one thing that I really wanted to touch on.
All right, you do that, and then we got it.
Our knowledge base has expanded greatly because of our volunteer angler surveys, and particularly for yellow perch.
Right.
So please, your listeners, if you fish for yellow perch or you catch yellow perch, go
yep.
onto the DNR website, the fisheries website.
Yep.
And on the right-hand side, there'll be a link for volunteer angler survey.
Right.
There's a bunch of different species now that we're relying on their help. And for yellow perch, Dale did a good job getting that started, and he did a lot of a lot of tromping around to tackle stores and getting the word out.
Yep.
And that first year, for how late we started, it was pretty good. The second year, it was stupendous. The third year, it was very good participation. Since then, the participation has been going down and down and down to the point where it's we can't look at anything on basically regional levels. I mean, we're only getting four reports from the Chester River.
Right.
We're only getting I think the Choptank was a little better.
Okay.
The Susquehanna is pretty good because we got a lot of the boat fishermen up there. But we really need
volunteer angler survey on the Department of Natural Resources website. That's
and it used to be that for each different species that were listed there, you had to register for each one.
Right.
Supposedly, and I didn't get online to check it, but as of yesterday, it was supposed to be one login for all the species.
Okay.
You log in. You know, you can register if you haven't been there. You can register. Log in, then you can pick your species that you want to report.
Okay.
And ideally, we would like to have your catch, what you kept and what you released measured, but if that's too much for you, you don't want to do it, just put the time you fished, how many you caught, how many you released.
Okay.
It can be that simple. It can take you, you know, 1 minute.
Okay. And that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. And, Paul, I absolutely have to stop you right there to take a break, our final break here, to get our sponsors' messages out. So hang tight with me for a few minutes, and
okay.
We'll get that done. Clyde Sports Shop, the annual 10-day sale, is underway. Started yesterday, runs through the 10th, and you can fill your reels with new premium-quality monofilament line for half price. Simply take your reel with your empty spool, take all the old line off before you get there, and they'll fill it for you with strand or trilene mono from just 1 cent per yard, and it's half price all the way through. The great rods and reels from Pfluger and Shakespeare, including the Ugly Sticks, the trolling rods, are all on sale, and it's all at Clyde Sports Shop 10-day sale. Great prices on a lot of fish and tackle. You walk in, all the reels are specially priced on the right-hand side. They've rearranged the entire store. Check it out, and you can get your fishing license, too. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. That's 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. The website is clydesports.com, and you can call the fishing hotline, 410-247-FISH, 410-247-FISH. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You catch a big old yellow perch or pickerel or something that qualifies for citation, you could win a great prize, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or check out the fishing rule book. You can visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. Hey, I want to do a little shout-out for our friends at Tochtermans. Thanks for the great donation of the two rods and reels for the Maryland Quality Deer Management Association banquet coming up on the 16th. Anybody has any questions about any of the banquets, any of the upcoming events, simply email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We do have a wild game dinner we want to mention at the Carroll County Ag Center, Saturday, March 23rd, 6:30 to 8:30. The speaker's Dr. Bill Behrens. He's a former drill instructor for the Marine Corps and a big game hunter. You do need to RSVP. There's no admission charge, but the phone number to go to the big game dinner is 410-440-2510. And that's at the Carroll County Ag Center. It's sponsored by the Calvary Bible Church in Westminster. And give them a call at 410-440-2510. There's plenty of door prizes for sale, too. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Arnado.
Hey, don't forget, if you want to take a great waterfowl trip to Canada or, you know, learn how to use one of the best goose calls in the country,
SeanMann.com, www.SeanMann.com. You can see all the varieties of all the calls. You can get all the details on hunting with Sean in Canada. Or you can call the office toll-free, 1-800-345-4539, 1-800-345-4539. The Eastern Shoreman's one of the calls I carry in my bag when I'm out there for geese, and you should too. SeanMann.com, give him a call. All right, we're talking to Paul Piavas. Am I saying that right, Paul?
Sure.
All right, great. Finfish guy for the Chesapeake Bay. We're talking about yellow perch. We talked a lot about that. We didn't get to talk too much about your catfish or your white perch surveys, but we'll have to have you back another day.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but we want to remind anglers to visit the Department of Natural Resources website, especially the fisheries page, and on the right-hand side, sign up for the volunteer angler survey. Let them know what you're catching, and also that great site, the Angler's Log, where you can show photos and report your catch and write your stories on what's going on out there. And a lot of people like that Angler's Log. And we want to thank the Maryland Fisheries Service for sponsoring the podcast of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We don't often mention that, but they're the ones that do. And they bring that to you so you can listen to the broadcast of this show 24/7, 365. Anytime you want on your computer, and that is all brought to you by the Fisheries Service. And all those links, and we'll have to link up the volunteer survey to that page so people can go listen to the podcast and sign up for the survey right on the Ellis Outdoors website. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is our email address. If you'd like to have any questions answered, we'll try to do that for you. Paul Piavas, for joining us this morning. Thank you very much, Paul. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. I enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
I was just getting ready to say, I don't know if you're a magician or what, but I can't believe that the hour went this quick.
Isn't that something?
Yep. Yep.
Well, I hope you get back with us again, and we'll just play that by ear. We've got a great schedule coming up throughout the year of a lot of different folks from the Department of Natural Resources, and you're welcome to join us any Saturday. Weigh in if you hear something that you'd want to comment on. We'll be glad to take your call. And we appreciate you joining us, buddy. And
yep,
have a good season.
You too. You too. Be safe out there.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, that's
okay.
My line.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted me to do it.
All right, man.
Can't overemphasize it. Right?
Nope.
Enough, right?
All right, Paul. Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There goes Paul. All right, folks. It's time for me to say get